like never before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. We got to open up our lips and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you like never before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My heart longs and even fits for you.
True.
Amen. We pray that you feel a part of the Agape family. Where we serve one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The scripture says, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and mostly important, he is in us all. Can we say praise the Lord? And prior to that, the scripture says we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. There's nothing like having peace. And we bless the Lord and we thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. Anybody get a touch? Get a touch. We used to say, Lord, touch me. Touch me, Lord Jesus. Anybody want to touch him? Anybody want God to move on from a crown in the head to the sole of their feet? Anybody want to touch him? I heard somebody say, God's not dead. You know God's not dead? He's here alive. The sunrise said, I can feel him in my head. I can feel him in my feet. We thank you. We thank God for the anointing. For the scriptures say only the anointing can destroy the yoke. If the devil had his way, he'd keep us all back. But I heard somebody say, but God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading on this afternoon. We just thank God for all he's doing. Amen. Thank God my wife is here. She had a long night. Amen. So she had a long night. I had a long night. But nevertheless, we thank God for blessing and keeping her in her health and strength. And Tensley wasn't feeling well. We thank God that he's here as well. Amen. We just thank God for all he's doing. Truly, God is a good God. Man may fail you. People will let you down. But Jesus never fails. People may fail you. Hallelujah. Your spouse may fail you. Those that are closest to you may fail you. But Jesus never failed. The psalmist said, there are even times when your mother and your father may forsake you. But that's the time when the Lord will take you up. Anybody need the Lord to take you up because you feel forsaken and forgotten? It's time for the Lord to take us up. Amen. We're going to take our scripture reading on this afternoon. We're going to ask all those to stand that are able to stand from Romans 8. We're going to read verses 24 through 31. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I don't know about you, but I heard the scripture say in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hands there are pleasures. Nobody else can do that like God can do you. Amen. We got to have a praise team come over here and say, can't nobody. Can't nobody? What, Nico, can you play that? Okay, we'll work on that for next service. Can't nobody do me like
Jesus.
Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother, not my husband, not my wife, not my best friend. Can't nobody! Yes, Lord. Verse 24 reads, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience
wait for it.
Once again, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And because that Spirit is praying, because that Spirit is searching, because that Spirit is filling your need, he said, and we
know.
Isn't it great to know? We don't have to guess. We don't have to figure out. We pray to God. We leave it in God's hand. The scripture says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. down to verse 31, we'll end here. The scripture says, because God is working it out. And because, can we say all things?
All things
are working together for good. It says, what shall we then say? What are you going to say then? What are you going to say to all of these things? What are these things? Well, I don't understand it, and I can't explain it, but there's some these things. Lord, we thank you for being our God. Lord, we thank you for being our Savior. Lord, we thank you for being our Lord. Lord, we thank you most of all for being a friend in a time of need. Now, Lord, on this afternoon, we ask you to speak. Search the hearts of this our people. Lord, meet every need according to your riches and glory. Lord, at this time, I must decrease. Lord, so that you may increase. So, Lord, we ask you to send the anointing so that yokes may be destroyed. Lord, send the anointing so that blind eyes may see. Lord, send the anointing so that deaf ears may hear. Lord, send the anointing so those that are bound may be set free. Lord, send the anointing so that you may heal the broken heart. And all these blessings and favors we're going to claim, can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. After you read this scripture, somebody says it's time to go home. I'm feeling all right. Everybody feeling all right? I see everybody feeling all right. I'm going to tell you something about me. When I come to church, I come to have a good time. You know, you can say in your world. Yeah, I don't know what's bothering you before you came, what happened before you. But when I come to church, I come to have a good time. Because when I have a good time, I know that I've heard from the Lord. Amen. And God certainly is in this place. Amen. The 31st verse reads again. What shall we then say to
these things?
What are these things? What are these things? Y'all ever thought, what? You ever read this in that? We always read that. What are these things? What are these things are the things that you can't control, but God can. These things, I didn't dismiss the children, sorry. All right, I see when people start getting up, it's like every time, we gotta get used to this new format. We're dismissing children, then we get back to these things. All right. And this time we will dismiss the children. Sorry for children's ministry, amen. And really, as they're dismissing, they won't bother me, walk, do whatever. What are these things? You ever really read that scripture? What's the Lord talking about? He said, for we're saved by hope. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why is he still hoping for it? Amen. So then he goes on and says, likewise, the Spirit. What's the Spirit doing? It's praying for these things. Right? Because the scripture says, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Anybody glad to be a saint? I said, anybody glad to be a saint? If you aren't a saint, then it's time to become a saint. Because it says, he that searches the heart knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, and he made an intercession for the
saint.
I'm so glad I'm a saint. I know you smiled. I forgot. We're supposed to pray for Sister Ruby before we got started, right? Are you feeling any better? We need to pray now or we pray after?
Pray now.
Pray now. All right, come on. Let's stand for a minute. Let's pray.
All
right. Amen. Let's pray for Sister Ruby. She's not feeling well. Amen. So we want God to intervene. Come on up, Sister Ruby. We're going to pray. Malcolm was looking and smiling, so usually I try not to look in the eyes, but look in your faces. Everybody's smiling so much today, I can't help but look. Amen. So we're going to anoint her and pray. The Bible says, this is testing to her, okay? The Bible says, if any sick, let him call for the elders of the church Let them anoint their oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And it will save them. And if they commit a sin, they shall be forgiven them. Amen. So anybody a little sick, come on up, let us pray for you right now. So you can get your breakthrough during the service. Amen. Amen. Whoever needs prayer, anybody need prayer? Ain't it good? Sometimes we pray after church, but you're in so much agony, you can't really hear. So if you need some healing, I'm not going to touch, we're going to anoint you, because God works the prayer of faith. Yes. Amen. All you have to do is have faith to believe, and God does the rest. Yes. So we're going to anoint you, and then we're going to pray a unified prayer. And it's so important to all of you that are up here for prayer. This is what God's word says. God, I'm so glad that we have his word. His word said, if two or three of us be on any matter on earth, it will be established here. So I think we got more than two or three around the altar. So we're going to touch and agree and believe God for healing. Amen. And if you need God to perform a miracle, we're going to believe God. Anybody need a miracle? We're going to believe God for a miracle. Let us pray. Lord, we stand before thee. Lord, our lives are an open book before thee. And Lord, these that are gathered around the altar, Lord, your word declares that you know what things we have need of even before we ask. But you say if we ask anything in your name, according to your will, you're doing touch right now. Scripted service.
That's right.
Amen. Don't have to have it on the paper. Amen. We just move with God's Spirit. Somebody say, we say, Lord, just have your way. Come on, can we say, Lord, just have your way. God's way is higher than our ways. The scriptures say his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher. Now, what are these things again? Right? What are these things? These are the things that we cannot control. Amen. These are the things that are only in God's hand, and we can't control them no matter what. So the 31st verse says, if God before you, who then? Are y'all with me? I said, if God before, who then? Can be against you. Amen. So sometimes we say, well, sometimes I know God is with me, but I just can't understand some of the things that are happening in my life. And in God being with us, sometimes we feel as though because God is with us, we don't have to worry about the tests. But the tests will come. Amen. So our thought today is that if God is with me, can it get any worse? You're wondering that if God is with me, can it get
any worse?
Because the scripture said, if God be for me, who then can be against me? I just got to get rid of the hum over here. I can't deal with the hum. You're going to kill that hum for me for 1 minute. Whatever the hum is, just turn that hum off. Now that hum made me think somebody is preaching with me. I just want to go by myself. So I don't know what the harm is, but I just can't deal with them harms. Because down south, when we used to get in the Baptist church, when things got real good, we just go, y'all were like, Jesus. I think someone preaching with me, I want to preach by myself. All right? Amen. So if God is with me, can it get any worse? Amen. With that being said, let's go to Genesis chapter 37. And in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, after God had delivered. Anybody been delivered? Anybody been redeemed? Anybody been set free? Well, after God had redeemed and set his people free, they went through a wilderness experience. You know, you think, well, God has blessed me and God has made all these ways. Things certainly got to be going on the up and up. Right? Things can't get worse. They got to get better. So God tells them in the 8th chapter, he said, listen, I allowed you to go through the wilderness. He said, I suffered you to have hunger. I suffered you to have needs. Well, why would God is with us? Say, God is with me. Say it like you really believe. Say, God is with me. So if God is with me, why would the God that says, if I be for you, who could be again, why would he let it get any worse? Why would he allow a trial to come that in my mind is too big? You know, this thing like all those times you thought those trials were too big, and look where you are now. Right? Because God brought you through. But if God is with me, how can it get any worse? God told him, he said, I allowed you to suffer. He said, I permitted you to go through hardship because I wanted to know what was in your heart. He said, I wanted to know whether you would keep my word or not. So I permitted you to go through hardship, but I was still with you. Well, Joseph is a unique individual. Amen. I remember one of the lowest points in my life. Somebody said, which one was it? I don't know which one of them. But one of them, right? Because we all have highs and lows. I don't care how high you're up on the hill, you have a low, right? One of the low points in my life, when I couldn't, things just couldn't add up spiritually. It didn't make any sense. And don't none of y'all be trying to figure out nothing, because it ain't what you think it is. Might be close, but it ain't. I said, Lord, I just, I know the Bible said you're with me, and I'm doing everything. I'm living a sin-free life to the best of my ability. I don't understand why things seem to be getting worse instead of better. So when they didn't add up to me, and I'm supposed to be the example for others, I figured, since I don't know what to do, I go to the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, we have a hiding place. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a... Anybody need some help? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And you know what's so good about that name? When you're in trouble, you can run into it and find safety. So the name of the Lord. So I just ran to the name of the Lord. I went into the Word of God. And Isaiah said, he'll be a hiding place in a time of trouble. Anybody got some trouble? You got to find a hiding place. There's no hiding place like Jesus. There's no hiding place like God. But my low points. I said, Lord, I just need something to encourage me. Amen. And when you're doing good, you do good. You're doing right. You're doing the best you can. And things get worse. So I was younger. I'm not going to tell you how old I was, but I was older than 19 and younger than 26, which I am now. So I was younger. So because I was dealing with this thing while I don't look like I'm older than 26. Well, I said 26 times more was three, though. But I was dealing with this situation, and it just mentally, it was mind-boggling. Because you think when you get saved and you're on God's side, things are supposed to go up. That you're not supposed to have no lows. Even though the psalmist say, you go walk through the valley. You know, sometimes you go through the valley. I don't want to go through the valley. I just want to stay on the mountain. But God permitted me to go down into the valley. And then I went to shadow of death. I'm still in the valley. And things didn't add up. So I figured, I go read about a young man that was a little bit about my age. Joseph was only 17 years old. And the Bible tells us the Lord was with Joseph. Yes. But when I read Joseph's story and the Lord is with him, I'm like, wait a minute. You with him and he goes from one calamity to another? And God is. Then it seems like just like he, when he gets a blessing, he goes to another calamity. And God is with him. And just when it seems like things are getting better, he goes away. So I figured I'd read about Joseph. Can we go about Joseph? Verse 1 of chapter 37. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
The scripture said, and Jacob dwelt in the land when his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 is very important, because we're going to see how long Joseph went through these things. Right? I give you the answer in advance. Right? He was 17 when it started. How old was he when he went before Pharaoh? 30. Because he was a type of Christ. I mean, I can get theologically on here, all right? This should keep going. But he was 30. All right? And somebody said, well, how do you have a coat of many colors? That's all theological. But let's just get to the main. Somebody said, stay on the main thing. I would stay on the main thing. All right? So he was 17. But for 13 years, Joseph went through these things. Right? These things, when you think of God, you don't expect to have some of these things. He said he was 17 years old, was feeding flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the son of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife, and Joseph brought unto his father their. Now, when somebody messes up and you go tell, you know, because you want them to be all right, so they're doing wrong, so you're going to let your father know so he can correct them. But how many know people don't like to be corrected? So they did not get happy, they got angry. Verse 3 says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren. Now we're trying to figure out how, if God is with you, right, how does things get worse? Because God, remember, never intends anything we go through to overthrow us, but it's to reveal an inner character in our hearts. Amen. Everything we go through, God is trying to reveal something in our heart, because the scripture said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The scripture says, who can know their own heart? But then he said, I, the Lord, search the heart. Yeah. So God searches all of our hearts. There's some stuff down in there that we don't even know that is there. So God permits things to get worse to reveal an inner character flaw in our hearts. Amen? So now Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak. You're in a bad situation. When you are in a house with, I believe it's, he had 11, it was 12 of them. So he had 11 brothers. It's bad when you're in a house and nobody can speak peacefully unto you. Why? Because you're doing something good. And because you do the right thing, your father favors you. I'm so glad that my heavenly father favors me. Because I do the right thing. So he did the right thing, and his brothers got angry, but his father favored him. And verse 5 said that Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him. Did Joseph orchestrate this dream? God did it. Right? So you would think, wow, God did all of this for me. It has to get better, but it got worse. It didn't get better. And you ask, if God is with me, why is all of this? Not this. I guess we're going to leave it at these things, right? Why all of these things? You ever wonder that? Come on, all of y'all do it. Everybody. When something happens, it's like, wow, what happened? If you're real. If you're super spiritual, I guess you don't ask those questions. But I ain't super spiritual. So when things happen, I don't question God like he's out of control, but I acknowledge him because I want to know what's going on. So Joseph dreams a dream. And he said, for behold, verse 7, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. In other words, he had been elevated in, can we say, in the dream?
In the dream.
Some of us have had some dreams, but we've allowed these things to cause our dreams to die. But God is still there. God has called some of us to some places in Christ that we have not yet attained because of these things. But can we keep the dream alive? Don't let the dream die. Amen? He said, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and thee, my whole family, bowed down to me. Right? So he's having all these dreams. Dreams come from God. God was showing him a future at 17. So Joseph, like any of you, you ever have one of those dreams? I'm gonna help y'all. You ever dream? You ever dream you want $1 million? You so happy till you woke up. I told my wife we were trying to get to church. I dreamed something. I woke up. I said, man, that was just a dream. You ever one of them dreams and you just you're so excited till you face reality. But Joseph was excited, and he felt as though I'm excited. Everybody else would be excited too, right? But what happened? They weren't excited. And his brethren envied him, but his father, Jacob, said, there's something about this war and these dreams. So now his father does correct him in the next verse. Amen. He does correct him, but then his father keeps those things in his heart because he said, God is dealing with the young man, but I don't know what he's doing yet. Can we say you don't know yet? God is doing some things in your life. He's allowing these things to happen. But I don't know what he's doing yet. So his father and his brethren are out in the field, and his father sends him to check on his brethren. And verse, let's drop down a little further for the sake of time. He goes to check on his brother. Verse 18 says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to, they wanted to kill him. What had he done wrong? Nothing. But if God is with me, can it get any worse? Amen. How old is he?
17.
Y'all stay with me. Amen. 17. It says, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And it came, verse 23 says, and it came to pass when Joseph will come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a can it get? What have they done wrong? Absolutely nothing. You think I'm going to check on my brethren? I'm excited. I'm just a young man. And when I see them, they strip me of my coat that my father gave me because he favored me. And then to make matters worse, they throw me down into a pit. And Joseph mind right now, he said, wait a minute. Lord, what happened to the dream you showed me? Oh, what's going on with the dream? But sometimes God has allowed these things to happen before you arrive to the place that God wants you to be at. And it goes on In the next verse, 25 says, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices. And Judah said, what profit is we slay our brother and kiss his blood? Come now, let us sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. We're talking about his own flesh and blood. You feel, somebody said, well, I'm around family, I feel all right. But how many know God can allow these things? Who in their right mind, I'm not talking about their own mind, I'm talking about your right mind. Who in their right mind feels I have to be on guard around my own family? Right? So they, first of all, they cast him into a pit, then they sell him as a slave. Amen? Then, after they sell him as a slave, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Can it get any worse? He had done nothing wrong, but it seemed like God is with him. God has shown him dreams. God has shown him a future. But the future don't look too bright. Amen? So verse 39 and chapter 39 and verse 4, in the beginning of the verse, it says that the Ishmaelites, who are his own relatives anyway, because right? Abraham and Ishmael were, right? Abraham was the father of Jacob, so they were relatives, they were cousins. Now his brother sells him into the hands of his cousins to be a slave. Then his cousin sells him to Potiphar's house in Egypt. Amen? Verse 4 says, and Joseph found grace in the eyes of Potiphar. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord... God said, well, you know what, God, everything I'm touching, God is blessing. So now I'm on my way up. It has to get better now, because God is blessing everything around me. So you can't get what? Any worse. So the Lord is blessing everything, and this is when we as a church have to step aside and say, Lord, anywhere you bless me. Anybody ever tell God that? Lord, anywhere you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Lord, anywhere you move in my life, I'll be satisfied. So the Lord is blessing the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in. You figure, God blessing like this, things got to get better. Amen? Can't get any. If God is with me, if God is fighting my battles, if God is doing all this, it cannot get any worse. But God, the scripture said, I'm so glad. Job said, the Lord knows the way that I take. And the end I shall come. I don't understand these things right now, but I'm looking for the, anybody looking for the end? When I shall come forth and pure gold. But God knows what he's doing. Verse 6 says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had save the bread. He was so confident that God was with Joseph. He said, you know what? All I have to worry about is the bread I eat. This man is so faithful. And it's obviously God is with him, because I've never had the blessings that I have now. So everything shows that God is with Joseph. So certainly things have to get better. They can't get any worse. We're saying when God is with you, and all of these, can we say these things? We all got a different these things, but these things just keep coming against us. Amen? In verse 7 says, and it came to pass after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house. He's the only one greater than me is the master. Because God is blessing me. Amen. I think if you read it in this 39th chapter, it says the Lord was with him like 4 or 5 different times. So if God be for me, who can be against me? So if God is for me, it has to get better. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Isn't that because thou art his wife? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin? You know, he said, I'm making a sin for righteousness, sin against God. I'm doing all this, certainly, and I'm making a stand for God. It has to get better. It can't get worse because I'm doing all that I know to do to the best of my ability. I'm giving my all, and God is with me. Everything I see and touch, God is blessing. So it can't get any worse. Amen. And verse 10 said, and it came to pass that she spake to Joseph. I'm going slowly so we can say there are some things that happen sometimes. But in the end, God is still in control. Can we say praise the Lord? And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph. She just worried Joseph to death to do the wrong thing. But Joseph refused to sin against God, that he would not unto her, to lie with her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there were none of the men in the house there within. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him. Now, I resisted sin, I resisted temptation. So since I did the right thing, certainly the Lord is going to bless me for this. Right? And if God is with me because I've done all of this and look what he's blessed me, things can't get worse. Because my confidence and my trust is in God. It says, and when it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled for, that she called unto the men of the house, and she lied to them. This is what it means. She lied on Joseph because he did the right thing, and she was embarrassed. Then she spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me, and I criticized me, and I cried with a loud voice, verse 15. And it came to pass, when he heard it, that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And we know that's not the truth, but let's drop down to verse 19 for the sake of time. Verse 19, now when his master came home and heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. But there's something in this scripture you have to see. The wrath was not really kindled. It didn't say kindled against Joseph, right? It said the wrath was what? Kindled. Because Joseph was a slave. Amen. So follow the sequence. So if he was kindled against Joseph, at that time his master would have killed him. But his wrath was kindled because the wife had made a spectacle of a man that the master knew was righteous. He knew that Joseph had done no wrong. But for the sake of the people, he had to do something in honor of his wife. So you would say, after all of this, the master knew that she lied. It can't get worse. It has to get better, but it got worse. But the Lord was still with them. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where he didn't put him in the regular prison. He put him where the king's prisoners were. You know why? Because the master knew, I've seen all that God has done. I've seen that God is with you. And I know that God has been blessing me because of you. He said, so I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to put you in a prison away from me. I'm going to put you in the prison of the king so I can still get a blessing. Because the master, can we say the master? Knew his wife was lying. Amen. So Joseph is thinking, well, the pastor knows she's lying, certainly he's going to liberate me. But God still has some more these things for Joseph to go through. And the Lord was, I'm sorry, verse 20, let me go back. And the master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. Now verse 21. And the
Lord is
there something wrong in this picture? All I keep hearing is God is with me and who can be against me? And the Lord is fighting my battle. But in my finite mind, things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. I was sold as a slave, but I was free in the house. Now I'm in prison. And I heard the scripture said the Lord is. It can't get any worse if God is with you. And it says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph and all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, he was to do of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because what we failed to do in the midst of these things. Because our eyes are not on God. Because the storm is raging. We begin to look at this winds of adversity and trouble that are blowing against us instead of looking at the blessing. Just like the disciples, the Bible said when the wind began to be boisterous and beat against the ship. Now, somebody said, well, why did the Lord stop before the ship got full? Isn't that a question? Say, Lord is in the ship, the Lord is with them. Why would the Lord permit things to get to the point of death before he stepped in? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and God's ways of past. We will never know the mind of the Lord. So all we can do is believe. So the Lord could have delivered them, but he waited till the ship was full. But the scripture said it was not sinking. Because in the middle of the trial, God blessed them. Amen. We get to the end. Amen. And it said, not only was the Lord with him, the latter portion said, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. When you look at it at face value, you know, when you look at it and say, wait a minute, how's God blessing me and things are getting worse? So he's in prison. I'm gonna cut some of this out now. He's in prison. And then the butler and the baker does something wrong who's in the king's house, and the king sends him to prison. One day, now he's in prison. We don't know how long it was, but it's somewhere around from the time he left at 17, because when he appears before Pharaoh, he's 30. So it had to be about 11 years. 11 years, Joseph had been going through these things. Right? And a lot of us, we get upset. Because we've been going through these things for a couple of months or a couple of years. Don't matter what you're going through, just as long as God is with you, you have the assurance that God's going to work it out. Just be still and know that he is God in the middle of your situation, and God will, I said God will work it out. But just be still. So the butler and the baker both get put in prison, and Joseph come to him and ask him, what's wrong? You look sad today. And the butler said, I dreamed a dream, and in my dream, three things happened, whatever they were is not important, but something happened, and Joseph interpreted the dream. He said, after 3 days, that you want to be restored back to your place as a king cupbearer. And Joseph said, when you get restored, please remember me. Joseph, 11 years, still said, I haven't done nothing wrong. Every time I do something right, it seems like I'm being punished for doing the right. Anybody ever feel like you're being punished for doing the right thing? And the devil whispering in your ear saying, it don't make a difference. If you do good, or if you do good or you do bad, you just keep seeing the having worse things. Right? But God, I'm so glad I know who he is. And I don't look at face value of anything because I have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I know the scripture said that if God be for me, who then can be against me? Anybody know God is for you? Who then can be against me? So Joseph tells the brother, he said, I was stole out of my land. I was sold into slavery. And I have done nothing wrong. And they keep doing bad things to me. He said, when you go back before the king, or before Pharaoh, he said, please remember me. Did you ever ask somebody to remember you because you've done some good and it seems as though you were forgotten? Then the Lord restores the butler back into the Pharaoh's house. And the scripture says, if you go to Genesis 41 and verse 1, it says, after 2 full years. Wait a minute. Every time I do the right thing, my situation gets worse. I'm sure at that time Joseph was excited because he felt so now. I've done this. Surely when the butler gets restored, after I bless him, he's going to bless me. But what did the butler do? He was so excited, he forgot Joseph for 2 years. And verse 1 said, at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Joseph didn't know anything that was going on, but I'm sure when they called Joseph and said, Pharaoh dreamed a dream, Joseph had a flashback. In his flashback, he said, I remember my dreams. And they haven't come to pass yet, but I remember my dream. And Pharaoh sent for Joseph. He said, I hear that you can interpret dreams. Joseph said, interpretation of dreams come from God. Hallelujah. So if, just listen, if God had revealed to Joseph Pharaoh's dream, don't you know that God had revealed to Joseph his dream also? That's why he was able to say interpretations of dreams comes from God. He said, it ain't in me to interpret your dream, but they come from God. Hallelujah. And the scripture says that when Joseph reveals the dream, he said, Pharaoh, you got to put a wise man in charge. How do you want God to orchestrate my steps? Lord, I want you to order my steps. Lord, I want you to direct my path. Because the steps of a good, anybody want to be good? Anybody want God's favor? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. So Joseph said, you got to put a wise man. You got to put a discreet man in charge. Right? At the end of 13 years, Pharaoh looks at Joseph and says, you the man. Hallelujah. Joseph went through all of that for 13 years, but he kept the dream alive because he trusted God. So just when he thought it might get a little worse, God stepped in and said, I'm here to bless you. And when I bless you, Lord, just be with me. Yeah. It for? Can it get any worse? It's all going to get as bad as God permits it to get, because the Lord is, and that's the most important thing today. If you can't say, as other guests come forward, if you can't say the Lord is with me, it's time for you to come to the altar and say, Lord, I don't care about mankind. I don't care about anybody else. The most important relationship today is my relationship with God. That is the most important relationship today. And I know that if God be for me, who then can be against me? Hallelujah.